you are listening to the Footy Mailbag Podcast with Damo and Emma.
Hello and welcome to the Footy Mailbag. My name is Damo and round two is over. So there are matters to discuss as usual. But first, let me introduce my jovial co-host, Clarky. How are you, my friend?
Another week is down in the Supercoach books and I'm also down, Damo. I'm also down. Couple of rough weeks. The 50-50s are not going my way. And we'll get into it, but more like Nick Stinkos. Am I right, guys? Everyone? What a waste of a vice captain that week.
Hey, on the bright side, you can actually promote Harry Mackay this week.
I will promote Harry Mackay every week until I am proven wrong.
For the record, we've got him on the traffic lights this week. We are debating the colour he needs to be. I want to put him as yellow, but
I demand green. Out of all weeks, anyway.
Speaking of debates, were on the Friday night and the Thursday night especially, the score reviews were out of control. Just to talk about footy for a second, yeah. the score reviews were out of control, and I actually tweeted it'd be nice if the umpires could have confidence in themselves.
Can I just say, you know what? Look, I think it's interesting because we think score reviews are terrible, but at the same time, a lot of people will absolutely destroy an umpire for getting a decision quote unquote wrong. You know, if they feel like it was different to how it was called, but then we have too many score reviews now because they've gone on the other side. But it's nice to know that the crowds at football games this year have been united in only one fact, and that is booing every score review.
Well, they're reviewing everything. They're reviewing out of bounds. They're reviewing out on the fools if it hits the point post. Like, I understand if there's like a big group of players and they're not sure whether the ball crossed the line before or after it hit a hand or whatever. But just make a call. If it's gone out, then it's gone out. If it needs to be thrown in, then just throw it in. Don't try and be perfect. And Will Anderson was on the Footy with Broden Kelly, and he said that footy fans would be better off living in the grey. Not everything has to be black and white.
Yeah, and look, that's absolutely true to a degree. I think it's difficult. It's difficult, isn't it? A game that every single controversy drives engagement, which is a weird level of maturity I think that AFL has within discourse in the country. And I for one love it. That's fine. Score review whatever you need to score review, or don't score review, who cares? Both of those kicks were out of bounds. I'll say it. Jack Higgins was out of bounds. Kyle Langford also out of bounds.
So, Clarky, you mentioned at the top of the show, Nick Daicos scored a 54 against the Saints. There was some talk that he might have had a rib or an abdomen issue, but he played out the game. So, I mean, he did spend like, 30 minutes on the bench in quarters two and three combined. So I don't know if there was an issue, but yeah, 54 from Nick Daicos is not something that we expected.
Only the 22 touches, and Stinker Daicos, he's bound to have a down game every now and then, right? Like it's only natural. Players can't be on every single week for an entire season. I honestly think that the issue was just that Collingwood were bad as a whole. St Kilda had their number for most of the night, if not the entire night. And I think it's kind of just shows that St Kilda are finding their feet of being a competitive club when they can only get the job done by 15 points, which is very flattering to how Collingwood played. If he does this again this week, I don't think it's panic signs super coach wise. If he does it again this week, maybe, but how many premiums can you afford to trade out? based on a couple of bad scores. It's Nick Dacos. He's an accumulator. He'll bounce back.
Yeah, I've noticed lots of tactics where people are trading him out and then saying that they'll trade him back in. But I've seen lots of tactics where people are trading out premiums to get other premiums that are on a tear. And I mean, some premiums just don't look right. And we'll go into some of that when we go to the listener questions a bit later. But I think we just got to be careful who we trade and how often we trade them. Just because, well, when I first started playing Supercoach, the idea of the game was to make your team full premium and be as competitive as possible, getting as many high scorers as you can. And now people are jumping off one player because they scored a 54, or one player because they scored a 70 or something. And I understand that with the extra trades, we've got more flexibility in that space, but I just think, yeah, trading out players, we should be careful. I'm not saying don't do it, because some people will have a very clear plan in mind that, you know, they've got a plan in their head. I'll trust them to execute it, but we just got to be careful that we're not lessening our team in search of points.
I feel like it would be clear to say that a lot of people have already used those extra trades that we were given when we got to 40 and everybody lost their mind because it was 40 trades. It's very interesting now to see the amount of people who are probably making additional or looser, as you said, looser trades, we'll call them, because they want to make sure that their team's set up correctly. So just be careful of who you're second guessing. I think I would to echo your statement a little bit. We need to be careful of who we're second guessing.
Speaking of someone who is finding their feet and that we're second guessing is Hayden Young.
This week was his second guess, Damo, and it,
yeah,
let me tell you, it didn't go well.
I said to hold him, just because of the amount of clangers and the sort of game he had against Brisbane. Well, he didn't clean it up against North Melbourne, and so I think Hayden Young, the midfielder, is good for football, but in terms of Supercoach, I think we might have to wait before he is a complete Supercoach product again and someone who we can really rely on. So we do have listener questions about him, but yeah, I think other options, I would endorse the trade if people were trading him out. But I also understand the reasoning for people holding him as well, which there are some people out there who think that he can come good eventually. So
I don't doubt that he will come good eventually. It's just a matter of if your structure can allow that.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely agree. I think he's brilliant in the midfield. He is somebody who the Freo are using to to deliver the ball. And he's just kind of, I think you can kind of understand moving from the back line into the midfield group that in real world scenario, there's probably a little bit more pressure on him to dispose of the ball than he is used to. And that's the thing. The ability is there. It's just a matter of getting used to it. And that can take however long it takes. But that means that we should probably look at someone who we can genuinely... He's someone that we could genuinely get a little bit cheaper later on.
And popular trade-in option this week, Tom Powell. He's scored 95 and then 128 in his opening two games, 312K in the forward line. Well, he's got a negative break even and should eclipse 400K, even if he can't keep up this type of scoring. But if he can, he's going to be a top forward, and we thought we had no forward options.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to look past the kind of scoring and the kind of role that he's had. So I don't know, this is probably the week to get him, right?
And everyone was worried about Jai Simpkin. Well, Jai Simpkin's come in and Tom Powell's centre bounce attendance has actually almost doubled to the point where he attended almost every centre bounce. So
yeah, sorry, I'm just looking at this. I was just bringing up those exact stats, Damo. That's great. First round against GWS, he had 76% CBA attendance, and in round two against your mob, he had 93% CBA.
So not double. I can't do maths, but good enough. But it was quite a jump.
Yeah, and We love that. That's good. If he's getting a majority of CBAs, that's just good. That's just good maths. That's Moneyball, baby, or whatever. Is that what Moneyball is? I haven't seen the movie.
I think so. Speaking of boosts, speaking of a jump, some teams got a good massive segue. Jump having these players in their team on the weekend. Some even had them as captain or vice captain. So Luke Jackson scored a 178, Zach Butters a 173. Lots of people had Zach Butters as captain, and I've seen a few people that even had Luke Jackson as vice captain. So if you were one of those people, I applaud you, and that is fantastic. But some massive scores, and we're already seeing some massive scores this season that people are now sort of sitting up and taking notice of. You know, Caleb Sarong is another one, Tom Green, Isaac Heaney, Max Gawn, like those sorts of players are coming up. And Zach Butters, 173 against Richmond. I didn't think Richmond were that bad. So for him to get a 173 was...
Their second half was that bad, Damo. That's the reality, I think, that we're faced with here. It's mind-boggling. Luke Jackson, 178, and I watched that. That was an amazing turnaround, and I couldn't help but think of you, my beautiful man out west, just going absolutely off your rock, watching them make that massive comeback and then absolutely bury North. And Luke Jackson was a big part of that.
Yeah, and I guess the discussion is, well, what happens when Sean Darcy's available? And that's going to be 2 to 3 weeks from now. And
because I don't think you need him. If you got Luke Jackson, based on this, Damo, and I know that you have an opinion about this, but using all the power of my Vic bias, Luke Jackson should be your number one ruck.
And I totally agree, but I also understand that what the media narrative would have been if we had let Sean Darcy go somewhere else. If the Dockers had let Sean Darcy go, the narrative would be that the Dockers can't hold on to their players, you know, like it was for the last season or the season before. What's happening at Freo? What's the culture like at Freo? And now that we've signed Darcy, everyone's like, why have they signed Darcy? They don't need Darcy. But there's always two sides to the coin with these sorts of things, and maybe they don't need Darcy. But I also don't think Luke Jackson is pigeonholed as a forward when Sean Darcy is available. Luke Jackson was in centre bounces with Sean Darcy rucking during match simulations in the preseason. The Dockers clearly see another role for Luke Jackson other than just being a key forward or a forward. So I don't think his scoring is going to drop off completely when Sean Darcy returns. He won't score 120 or 160 like he is now, but I don't think he is going to completely drop off the face of the planet in terms of Supercoach relevancy when Sean Darcy does return. There might be a few games where there's a bit of a teething issues while they work out the best mix, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's a 60-40 ruck split and Luke Jackson still averages 105.
Well, look, I have my own opinions about you guys getting Luke Jackson and then pretty much playing him as a forward and not really giving him a fair split. But as a Melbourne supporter, I don't really want to make a comment on another club's culture right now. So I think we should move on.
We can't seem to pin down a rookie defender. So all obviously, dead. Josh Gibkiss has done his ACL. Zach Reed has done his hamstring. Nick Caulfield is now out for 12 to 14 weeks with a shoulder injury. Charlie Dean got axed. Toby Pink is
fine. He's
fine-ish.
He's alive.
He's probably one of the better options if people need to jump off someone this week.
He'll look. Toby Pink got a good role in terms of, like, for him. Scoring ceiling probably just isn't there. But he's cheap. But it also means if you need desperately to jump off someone, you don't have to do it this week either. because his scoring is going to be slow.
It's going to be very slow. I'm just trying to think who else is out there. Marty Hoare was the sub for Melbourne.
He will play probably 2 weeks in the best 22 as a tall while May is out. And that's assuming that May only misses this. That's not even assuming May only misses this game where he's already back running with his two broken ribs.
Yeah. So defender, rookie, carnage. Everyone's trying to find a way to fix it and it's not easy.
Remember when we were worried about the forwards?
Yes.
What a simple time. What a simple time we had.
All right, let's get to the questions. We have a lot of them. We've preambled for too long.
That's fine.
So just a reminder, we will drop our traffic lights in discussion throughout these answers. So when we talk about some players, we might give them a green, yellow, or a red rating. Green indicates a good pick. Yellow is a watch or a hold. Red is a trade or a void. A player could earn their rating for several reasons, including, but not limited to, scoring potential, job security, price point, reliability, or injury status. And our traffic lights, our official traffic lights, go live on our social media accounts on Thursday mornings. First question comes from Paddo of the Supercoach Co-Captains on Twitter. He says, Hayden's got to go, right? And the answer is yes. Next question. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's, you know what? That's it.
If you're thinking about getting rid of him, then you probably shouldn't hold on to him. If you're one of the other people who thinks that he can turn things around, then maybe you hold him. But no, Hayden Young has got to go. The scoring, I don't know when that scoring is going to turn around. So Matt on Facebook wants to know who are the best Hayden Young replacements. There's different machinations that you can do with, that you can work with here. So Massimo D'Ambrosio is 225K. He scored 122 and 87 in his first 2 weeks as a Hawk. He could net you 300K and you could use it to fix another line in your team. You've got your cheaper players like Nozia Wanganeen-Malera, Elliot Yeo. I don't endorse the Jeremy McGovern pick, but I understand why people are going there. So Wanganeen-Malera is probably my thought as a replacement. He's a green light this week. So is Massimo D'Ambrosio, and those would probably be the two options that I would strongly consider.
I also like Elliot Yeo, who you did mention. He's just looking fit and he's getting that decent mid time. He's scoring pretty well for the price that he's at. He's not breaking the world open, but he's going in the triple figures and he looks like he's running well. I would probably say if you're one of those people who's got a little bit of cash in your bank though, a little bit of money to burn, your boy Damo, Luke Ryan.
611K, need 90K to go up to him.
Yeah, so you need a good, this is for the rich one, the one percenters only.
Yeah, these are the people
past here.
These are the people who have already cashed out on someone like a Jack Billings or a James Harms or something. So
yeah, a 165, a 127 coming up against Adelaide, has Carlton and Port after that, but then goes to West Coast. So kind of a bit of a mixed bag fixture, but he's taking kick-ins. He's looking good. He's back-to-back like 120 plus scores.
If you're one of the lucky people who started Nick Dacos in your midfield, Hayden Young's only 4K away from going to Jack Steele.
Yes.
Who is probably another option if you can make it work. And then if you can move Dacos into your midfield, from your midfield into your defense, then that opens up a whole slew of other options even to the point where you can even go all the way down to your forward line and bring in a Sam Flanders, who, yes, he's on the bye, but he's probably going to be a top forward. You can bring in a Tom Powell, who we will talk about a bit more a bit later, but he's 312K, Netcher 200K. So Dacos in your mids, if you are one of the people who have him in there, you've got endless replacement options. If you're stuck to just replacing in defense, Wanganeen, Malera, Yeo, or banking some cash and going to Massimo are probably the top three options there.
For those of you playing at home, I've banked Young and gone to Massimo. And the plan is I'm looking at a little guy, and we'll probably talk about it next week because he's off his bye, but little fella, Lucky Whitfield, he's just having a quiet, good one.
He is a yellow Lockie Whitfield on our cheat sheet this week, purely just because he is on the bye, so.
That's fair.
Thanks for the question. So Jev's on Twitter wants to know who we should go to for under 520K, Wanganeen, Malera, or Yeo, or McGovern. Probably Wanganeen, Malera, just for durability's sake, for me.
Yeah, look, safe option, Wanganeen, Malera. Fun option, Yeo. Not option, McGovern. I don't...
Good way to sum it up, yes.
Yeah, I get it, and I am with you on that, Tamo, but I would not be picking Jeremy McGovern. I don't trust it. I don't trust West Coast.
I mean, I will say this. I was watching the Giants game on the weekend, and Jeremy McGovern does look... He looks a bit less pudgy. He's lost the stock.
Pudgy?
He looks more like a defender, whereas the last few years it looks like he's kind of been carrying a bit of a keg. He's looked a bit thick in the chest. Whereas now he looks a bit more lean, kind of like a Jake Lever or a Alex Pierce or a Harris Andrews type, you know, yeah. Like those kind of players. Whereas before he was kind of a bit big and that's probably why he was getting so many injury problems, because he was carrying around weight that he didn't need. So he does look better. He does look a lot more fit, but just Wanganeen, Malera for safety, Elliot Yeo if you're feeling a bit spicy.
Yeah. And I'll say McGovern's 144. Watching that game, GWS were in second gear and just bombing it into the forward line, netting McGovern a lot of nice little touches. So I don't see that happening every week, and they've got a pretty rough run in the next couple, I think.
All right, Pato on Twitter has asked a second question. Obviously, Nat Fyfe was subbed on the weekend.
Boo.
And he just wants to make sure there's nothing to worry about. And no, there is nothing to worry about. Yes, we were warned in the preseason that he'd be managed. So this is the first 6-day break of two successive ones that Dockers have. But no, he's all good. Wasn't on the injury report, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Dockers go into this game completely.
You didn't need changed. Him. He was put in bubble wrap.
Yeah, pretty much. Him. So nothing to worry about regarding Fyfe. He looks back.
Fyfe is life.
I don't know if he's 120 Supercoach average back, but he looks back.
He could be. He'll have one game of like 120.
Okay. I feel sorry for Gavin.
Gavin, what's wrong? So he's
talking about his friend, which in air quotes, his friend. Just say a bloke had three injured rookies in defense. What now?
Lie down, try not to cry, cry a lot.
So we've spoken about Toby Pink. He's an option. He's playing. He will make money. That's probably one player who I would say I would be happy if I would be happy with if I had to replace three injured rookies in defense. Yeah. Honestly, the next player I would look at is
Howes. If you don't already have him.
If you don't have Howes, you could go to Howes.
He's gained a lot of cash. He's at 194 now. But I think you need to find the money to get these 200 high 150 plus guys.
And I'll also just add in people going for Josh Draper early. Heath Chapman is less than 2 weeks away. And I don't think Heath Chapman displaces Draper just because they're two different types of players, but there is that chance. So maybe wait until he is on the bubble before you jump on Josh Draper, but he scored a 35 on his debut game. He's not that attractive, is he? I mean, 123K rookie that is breathing and playing is very, very attractive at this point in time. But I don't know if a 35 would make me jump off my seat to bring him in before he's on the bubble.
I think the other thing that we need to remember is that it is best 18 this week. So if you can afford to hold a week because you've got 20 in the rest of your positions, feel free to make that decision next week when we might have more information. Only one of the team sheets has been announced at the time we're recording this, for the Brisbane Collingwood game. Sorry, my brain stopped working halfway through that. So we don't really know. This may be a week that somebody may present themselves. So don't feel rushed to make a decision if you can fulfill your best 18 requirement.
Yep, that's perfectly said. Best 18, you could probably hold off and just see what rookies are available when you really do need 22 players scoring on your field. Clarkie, I might let you have the floor for the next question. So two people asked this, Jimmy and Simon, both on Facebook. Thank you for submitting a question. Clarkie, what are your thoughts on Jordan Dawson so far?
Put him straight in the bin.
Jimmy adds, from the eye test, his usual elite disposal looks to be slightly off.
Yeah, both games he's had less than 65% disposal efficiency, a 58 disposal efficiency against Gold Coast and 62 against Geelong. Look, no, our good friend Baron has tried to give us some insight into Adelaide, and even he doesn't precisely know what's going on with the group at the moment. I've seen suggestions that maybe Dawson needs to move back to his halfback kind of role and really utilize, like, really find that weapon that is his surgical, like, kicking. It's difficult. I mean, Damo, your take on Adelaide at the moment, they feel a bit lost. Like, Matt Crouch has come back in that midfield group, and something about the balance of the way they're trying to deliver the ball forward feels wrong.
The way Adelaide are playing so far this year and the expectations that were on them after last year kind of remind me of how Fremantle were 12 months ago. They added in Jager O'Meara, who they thought could replace a David Mundy, and it kind of just muddied up their midfield and they couldn't get anything going in any part of the ground. So I think Adelaide will eventually find where everything clicking, and they'll get to a point where they can win or play at a higher level, a more consistent level. But at the moment, I think they're still trying to work out the Crouch-Dawson-Laird dynamic, Jordan Dawson is suffering from it.
Yeah. So look, listeners, I'll be honest. I've given him the flick. Jordan Dawson has currently become Caleb Sarong, but before he loses any money, I'm jumping off to a premium who I feel more confident in based on the current role. And I know that we say all the time, you don't make rush decisions and things like that, but I feel like it really solidifies my team. I don't want to wait to see how Adelaide progress or improve. I don't have any doubts that Jordan Dawson is a great footballer and that he will improve, but I don't have the time or the willingness to gamble that that's going to be okay. It is a massive luxury trade, I would say, to trade out a Jordan Dawson type, but at the same time, I was able to get him to Sarong, who is playing like a house on fire and picking up 50 touches for fun, which means that this week he will score 50.
Thanks for that, Clarkie, as an owner.
You're welcome for the Moz, and Jordan Dawson's going to go good, so hold on to him. Hold on to him, listeners. But next, that's my opinion.
Next question comes from Matt on Facebook. Is Tom Powell a good trade-in? Can he sustain his high scoring?
If his CBAs continue to be as high as they have been, absolutely. So, if and when they do drop.
Well, let's... I mean, the positives are negative break-even, positive role.
That's good.
And he's scored 95 and 122.
That's excellent.
Jai Simpkin has probably cemented his role rather than damaged his role. Mm-hmm. And I doubt North Melbourne will change something that's working. I think they're more likely to change what isn't working, which could be a whole range of things. But I doubt that they would change up their midfield, because I think that's the one part of their game plan that is actually working. Yeah. So Powell, Wardlaw, Davies, Uniacke, McKerch is going through there. Sheasel's going through there. Cherry has been a great ruckman. Been a great ruckman for them in his first year as starter, really. And so I don't think they'll change that. I think it will be the compliments around those players that they change. So even if he doesn't maintain his scoring, at his price, at his scoring, he's going to get you to someone good.
Yeah.
But I reckon he could be a top forward by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we talk about a lot, the eye test, right? Like, he looks good. He's got the role. Just got to monitor and keep going. I still think he's a good trade-in this week before he gets his price rise. Because if he goes off again with a triple figures, that's a decent bit of cash, even if it all goes pear-shaped in a couple of weeks.
Yep, so Tom Powell is a good trade-in, I think. Just if he turns into a premium, great. If he's just a stepping stone, also great. Because at his price, at his break-even, at his scoring level, I don't see any reason why he can't eclipse 400, even 450K. Next question comes from Luke on Facebook. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Luke.
Is Cam McKenzie a hold or a trade?
You crunch the numbers.
Late addition to the mailbag, so I quickly crunch numbers before we started recording. At his price, he needs to average 49 to hold his price. At his average of 69.5... he should make 100K. Ideally, you'd like him to average 80 to make 150K if you're not going to keep him. So is he a hold or is he a trade? If he is your only issue and you can get to a Tom Powell for 42,000 more, then I would trade. But if you've got other issues, I think you can hold him. Obviously, hasn't come as advertised, hasn't come as described. Preseason form was a little bit of a placebo for us, but I don't think it's a complete disaster yet to hold Cam McKenzie.
Agreed. Hey, look, when you wrap the present up with such a nice bow, Damo, you don't need me to add anything.
Next question comes from Daniel via Facebook.
Thanks, Dan.
Is Kane Farrell a good option as a sneaky point of difference? He's taking kick-ins, and he'll either use a long kick or a short kick and then run past for the handball, which creates a double possession. Not someone that I've considered, but...
Yeah, look, it is very sneaky.
Yeah, and here's my thing with a point of difference, especially early in the season. As someone who started Briggs, the only difference between my score and a lot of other scores was that I didn't have Max Gawn. So in that situation, Briggs was a negative point of difference. Is your team prepared enough to hold Kane Farrell if he does revert to scoring 60s and 70s like he has before? That's the only question that I would have about bringing in Cain Farrell.
I have concerns about someone who we sort of target as a sneaky. For the reasons that you've outlined there, and also he's in a pretty awkward price bracket. That being said, if he's taking the kicking, I think we have all the information to indicate that taking a punt, knowing the risk, sometimes worth it. I have to be honest, Damo. I'd probably be willing to do it if I wasn't in the position that I was in with my current team.
Do you think Cain Farrell smells a little bit of Will Powell?
Yeah, absolutely. But I still brought in Will Powell.
Yeah, okay. So, if we were grading Cain Farrell on the traffic lights...
Yellow.
He's a yellow.
Yeah.
So, not someone who we can wholeheartedly endorse, but if your team can do it, and... it's, and you have trust in his role, then go for it. Now, this next question is from Jeffrey Head on Twitter, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to read the whole thing, because the way
we have to get the sensor button ready,
because the way he proposed this was really quite hilarious. I found it funny anyway. In my crazy trade plans, I will need to drop one of the berries this week. Sam is playing, but could drop another poo. But also Laird said that Laird will be playing half forward, so more center time for Berry? ? If Sam can churn out 80s, I'll be happy. Tom is not playing, which is also poo, but may average out to make a little more money than Sam. He thinks he answered his own question, but would love to know which dingleberry to drop first. So to sum it up, which berry do I get rid of first, Tom or Sam?
Probably Tom. Tom.
I'm on board with Tom.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. Gold Coast had a really bad game, but it feels like the 100 that Tom had against Adelaide might have been an anomaly.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that it's not worth... this berry ain't worth the squeeze, if you will.
So, we had Tom as a green on the traffic lights last week.
Yeah, we were wrong.
So a lot of our listeners traded Tom in on our advice.
That's fine.
Yeah, we got that wrong. We got that wrong.
Look, there's two options, right? Either A... maybe it was an anomaly, and that does happen. That's Supercoach, baby. We play a game that's based off a crazy sport.
I'm going to interrupt you, and this might be where you're going. So if I've interrupted you to actually say what you're about to say, I'm sorry.
Let's find out.
There's two things.
Yeah.
Was the 100 the anomaly, or was
the 24? Yeah.
Or was the 24 the anomaly?
Yeah, because they played like garbage. Yeah, in Ballarat. So, who can say? Look, here's the thing. If you had to pick one, would you pick the other berry?
I would. I'd hold Sam just because he's playing this week. That's the only thing that's sort of separating them. But if you think Tom can...
I got confused because I thought Sam was the one that played for Brisbane, but that's Jared. There's too many berries in the AFL. Knowing that he plays for Adelaide, I like it less. Because Adelaide also bad.
So, I mean, Tom could average out to make more money and be a higher price than Sam in the end. But I think I'd hold Sam just because he's playing this week.
How much is Sam Berry?
228,000.
Okay, so the price difference isn't significant, is it?
No, not really.
Oh yeah, it's about 20k. All right. Yeah. This is a tough one. See, I'm very divided. Usually I'm quite prepared.
Okay.
I'm quite divided on this one because I don't like
I'm locking in my answer. Yeah. Trade Tom Berry because Sam's playing.
Yeah, okay. I'm doing the old classic flip-flop and I'm going to say trade Tom Berry, but in my heart says get rid of Sam. My brain says Tom, my heart says Sam.
So, Jeffrey, we've probably been no help to you and we apologize.
He answered his own question.
He did. He answered his own question.
Yeah, which is nice. Sometimes we just want correspondence.
Well, those are all the questions for the week.
Thanks, listeners.
Clarky, let's do our round three captains. Who are you thinking for your vice captain this week?
Caleb Sarong against the poor Adelaide. Wow, I've been really harsh on Adelaide this week. But it's in Perth. It's against Adelaide, who is still struggling to find a bit of form. Caleb Sarong has been racking up 50 disposals like he owns the football. I don't think you can look past it. I don't like going early on the Thursday games, no. Even though Nick Dacos is genuinely tempting. And Harry Mackay against Carlton.
Against Carlton? You mean North Melbourne?
Sorry, against North Melbourne. Harry Mackay from Carlton against North. How about you, Damo?
So I thought about Nick Dacos. I thought about Caleb Sarong.
Yep.
My vice captain comes from the same game that Caleb Sarong is playing in, and his name is Luke Jackson.
What's the mentality with that?
Shout out to Third Man Up with Janeth and Ross. We've had Janeth on the podcast previously. They made a very good point about vice captains to me, that your vice captain should be someone who has a high ceiling and a weakened opponent.
Fair enough.
Whereas your captain should be your reliable safety net kind of score. For me, Luke Jackson is that high ceiling against a weakened opponent kind of player. So okay. That's why he's my vice captain.
I can see it.
And what about your captain, Clarky? What if Caleb Sarong doesn't give you a captain score?
Who are Tom you going Liberatore with? Against the Eagles. It's at Marvel Stadium. The Bulldogs aren't a bad team on paper. Like, they bullied Gold Coast last week. They had a really close one with Melbourne for most of that match. Do the Eagles even stand a chance? Signs would say no.
I mean, Tom Liberatore. I mean, they beat the Western Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium last year.
Holy shit, that's right. I forgot about that. That felt like a fever dream. I still stand by it, surely.
The game looked like a fever dream.
Yeah, surely. Surely not twice. Other options, though, Isaac Heaney against Richmond. Isaac Heaney is just getting things done. I don't necessarily... Look, I'm usually a very Melbourne man, but I don't necessarily like any of the Melbourne. Maybe Jack Viney, if you're one of the few owners, against Port in his 200th.
Tim English against West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Tim English. I forgot. I don't own him. I try not to think about the good players that I don't own, Damo.
Tim English against West Coast is another option. Marcus Bontempelli is another option, although there is some talk that rumor. He may not line up. He was very sore coming out of that game against the Suns. So against West Coast, they might choose to manage him. I hope not, but there is that chance.
And I'll throw it out there. Jack Steele against Essendon for either a C or a VC smack bang in the middle of Easter weekend.
Very good. Yeah, I'm going at this stage, Vice Captain Luke Jackson, the C on Bontempelli. Obviously, if Bontempelli is laid out in the room, is it true? Then I'll just switch that to Tim English.
Very good. Let us know who you got, listeners.
And that's it for this episode of the Footy Mailbag. Clarky, thank you again.
Oh, thank goodness. That was stressful. I forget how stressful Supercoach is when it's not on. But we'll be back again next week and hopefully with better results.
If you haven't given us a rating on your listening platform of choice, please do so. It helps the algorithms and all the fancy... It gets into people's ears that aren't listening previously because they didn't know we existed. So
yeah, it lets people know that we're alive.
It lets people know that we exist. Lets people know that we are there. It recommends them in their Spotify or their iTunes or wherever they listen. So if you can give us a rating on your listening platform of choice, that would be awesome.
Just remember, listeners, if you don't listen to us, if you don't hear us in your ears, if you don't see our tweets from our account, we cease to exist. And we want to exist. My God, do we want to exist.
Make sure you check out Supercoach rings at supercoachchampion.com for a Super Bowl style ring for your league winner. Clarky, would you like to plug anything extra?
I have another football adjacent show called The Falcon. We release episodes on Tuesdays where we do a round review, make a couple of crazy predictions. It's a little bit looser. Okay, it's a little bit looser. But we have fun.
It's
Jesse
loose.
And Chris. Yeah,
it's loose.
And Chris, beautiful co-hosts. And Damo, we've had you on. We also have all our preseason episodes, which you can go back and listen to because they're about people and telling us why they love their football clubs. So they're going to be timeless. So feel free to go check us out. Give us a follow. Falcon Footy Pod on Instagram and X.
Previously known as Twitter. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk next time.
Love you. Bye.